Welcome back to Was It Worth It, the podcast where I go on a journey through the annals of movie history and see all the so-called classics that I have ignored for so long and ultimately decide, was it worth it? My name is Toffer and today I've got two lovely guests joining me. Boys, why don't you introduce yourself for me?
Hello. Well, we are the Three Cuckoos podcast.
Yeah, here we are.
My name's Rob.
My name's Tim.
And yeah, we've watched a lot of classics.
So we are here to talk about the so-called classic 1978, well, or John Carpenter's Halloween. Now, boys.
Yes.
The first question I like to ask everybody on this show.
Oh, 8 inches.
When did this... on a shit day.
On a cold morning.
Yeah. When did this film first come into your life and what impact did it have on you?
Oh. Well, I must have watched it with you. Yeah, possibly. At my first time. You probably watched it before me because you watched a lot of the classics before me.
I think I watched it during your first time.
I think you did.
I think I was just sat... I was watching Halloween while, you know...
it must be... Do you know what I'd say? Late 80s?
Because my mum and dad let me watch anything when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's how we
are. Did they really?
Yeah.
At what age?
On telly, should I say. On TV.
Yeah.
It was literally a case of, if it's going to scare you, it's your own fault. Because we said go to bed. And that's as simple as it is.
But you had like three older sisters.
So they couldn't really, you know what I mean? It was like, if they're watching it, I'm watching it. And that's the end. And it used to frighten me to death, but it was probably in the 80s.
Yeah, I'd say late 80s
when
for
it was
me.
Like on TV.
Yeah.
How many years did something take to come on TV? But then you don't really
Yeah, what was the turnaround back then?
Oh, God, I've no idea. Things used to take forever to come on telly, didn't they? They used to
make
a big thing of it.
Mega news if it was going to be. It was like, they'd like big it up for weeks if it was going to be on ITV or BBC, didn't they?
It was
massive build up.
So it was probably like on a Halloween night when I wasn't trick or treating.
Yeah. I'd say probably 88, 89.
Probably something like
around
that
sort of era.
But then I think as you get older, you kind of tend to notice things more and you get an idea of it and a gist of it and you tend to appreciate it more when you're younger, don't you? When you're older, sorry.
Well, I think the thing is with this film that I've noticed, everybody that has grown up with it loves this film.
I think that's right.
Say, isn't it?
Yeah. It was a bit of a trendsetter for some things.
Oh, hugely.
Yeah, well, doing research, I've noticed all of that. Like, a lot of things just copied it.
Yeah.
It did. It set a benchmark.
Yeah.
So you had Halloween.
That's a good word. Good word.
Yeah, there was a few. There was me and Tim have been looking into this because we were talking about coming on your show. Mm. And there was a film in the 60s called Peeping Tom, which was British.
Oh.
I think that did a bit of POV, did it?
Yeah, it was shot like from the eyes, through the eyes of the killer. Yeah. And it was like the first sort of film to do it,
I think. Then you've never had a slasher flick.
Yeah.
Not really. Where there's just some crazed murderer going around with a knife killing teenagers. It just wasn't the done thing.
And I think we were talking briefly last week about it, and we were saying, like, it's sort of set in this safe environment, this neighbourhood, these family homes.
Yeah.
And there's this vicious slasher who just comes in and just rips them all to pieces. It's like, I don't think that was ever done.
No, because I think the biggest sort of film that you can put on the same level was like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but that was set out way out in the middle of nowhere. So they were isolated.
Yeah.
That was out to like shock.
Yeah.
I think as well. It was like on a kind of a Saw level, whereas, it's blood, it's gore.
I watched that for the first time the other day.
Yeah.
Did you?
It's terrorizing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the way it's shot as well. It's sort of dirty.
It looks real. It's very raw.
Yeah,
it is. And I tell you what about Texas Chainsaw as well, going off the Halloween subject just a second. If you put it on, right, and you turn, obviously, your surround system on or whatever you've got, and go out of the room, and all you can hear is a chainsaw and people screaming, and you're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, because there's no music, is there? There's no music to the film?
Not really. No, not really.
A lot of those, you see, back in the day, they were done on compared to now, peanuts. Budgets were just nothing to make films like that back then.
Well, this film, Halloween, was, what is it, 300,000 or something like that?
Yeah, I've got it somewhere.
That's fuck all.
Yeah.
It was more of an experiment, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. Weren't you saying last week they only showed it in a couple of cinemas?
Yeah, they released it on a few cinemas first off, didn't they? And then it kind of grew in popularity, and then cinemas actually kind of demanded to show it.
Yeah.
Because the word had got around, and then suddenly it was like this nationwide hit and went international, but they never really intended it to do that that much, really.
I do know when it first dropped, it was slammed.
Yeah.
Like a lot of critics jumped straight on it and just said it was...
Yeah, a lot of horror films are slammed, aren't they? Critically. Yeah.
I guess back then, though, as well, I mean, Exorcist was earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But things like that, it just wasn't the done thing.
No.
You know, films like that would not have gone down very well.
You see, it was a totally different time, late 70s, to now.
Mm.
And can you imagine seeing... It's so hard to put into perspective for what... I mean, we've got so much back catalogue of things to watch now.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to put that in its place.
Yeah.
When you look, you know, and you think all the films that came after it, Nightmare on Elm Street, those sort of films, they all followed suit. I mean, that was later on, but that sort of sparked off that. I mean, there was obviously a few films before that, but this, I think that was the real, like Rob saying, the benchmark. It sort of set a new benchmark for horror. Yeah. Not just horror, it was more slasher-like. And it was that sort of like on Friday the 13th, that was probably the next one slasher that
sort of
came out.
It was the next one,
I think it was... It's hard, because for us... I remember we grew up with these like coming out.
Yeah.
Like a Nightmare on Elm Street coming out. I mean, that was a bit later on than Halloween, but we sort of I remember that coming out. I remember seeing it in the video shop when I was a kid and seeing the front cover. And I remember seeing Halloween in the front cover, actually, in the same video shop, but obviously it was a bit too young to ever be allowed to watch on until I got a bit old and came to your house.
Nobody cared.
I think for me it's iconic. I'm thinking of Friday the 13th. Michael Myers is like such an iconic bad guy.
Did it scare you?
Yeah. I think it's still I watched it last night and I haven't seen it for quite a while. And it's still quite there's bit obviously it's not gonna terrify me. But there's bits in it that you think, ugh.
I watched it last night, and it's a real kind of... Tim said the word stalker earlier on.
Yeah.
And it's more that suspense and the kind of not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it kind of builds, doesn't it? And I love all that when there's a scene in the film where Dr. Loomis is with a nurse in a car.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like that.
Yeah.
He's not in a car park or anything. And they're driving up, and it's hard rain, and it's thunder and lightning. And they get to the gates, and all you can see is those white...
Yeah. It's creepy.
The gowns of the people, the asylum people, just walking around in the rain, and it's spooky, man. It's a bit creepy and a bit weird.
It is. Well, before we get into it properly, if you could pick only one thing to say about this film, what would you say is your favourite thing about it?
Oh, man. There's so much about it that I love. I like the fact that it's really basic.
Yeah.
It's not got any... Nowadays, you get a lot of comedy interspersed with all of this stuff. And it's annoying when you're a horror fan because you want to be scared and you want to kind of get dragged into the situation, if you like.
Yeah, it belittles the horror, doesn't it, after a bit?
Yeah, but you can't have that now because you've got that comedy element. And I think maybe Scream maybe started that off, as great as Scream was.
It did kind something of, new, didn't
yeah, it?
Yeah,
it had that lot of comedy influx in it.
Yeah.
Whereas back then it was really simple. Obviously, it hadn't really been done before, but it was really simple, and it was just a guy walking around and just popping up everywhere.
I have to agree
for no
with
reason
that.
At all as well. Like, I had to look into why.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously I've never seen the first. I've seen Halloween H2O because, I don't know, it was just on randomly.
Because you love Josh Hartnett, don't you?
I love him to bits.
And LL Cool J as well.
Now you've got a tattoo. I love Josh.
Ladies love Cool J. cool James.
Yeah, fucking hell. It is. It's a good shit film, that is.
You can't leave on.
Yeah, it's a good shit film. Yeah. That's the perfect way to describe it.
But even then, like I knew, even though I hadn't seen the original, I did know all about Michael Myers because he's such a cultural icon.
Yeah.
That everybody knows about. My 4-year-old son knows about him and he knows the music.
Yeah. I mean that's another thing. The music. Mm. When you put the film on, that it starts and it's like shit.
Do you know what, right?
Straight away
I will tell you straight away now. I watched it last night.
Yeah.
And as soon as it starts, ding 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 ding, I got giddy.
Yeah.
I was semi-erect.
Yeah. It sets the pace, though, the film, doesn't it? And it's straight into it.
But it's old, doom, creepy music.
Doom, yeah. But I just think John Carpenter did that.
Again, he did his own music. Just amazing.
Or he only did it out of necessity as well, because they had no budget. He went, fucking, I'll do it myself.
But I don't think it would have been the film it was if he hadn't have done that.
Mm. Well, apparently he showed it. This is, again, me doing a bit of research.
Good
he
lads.
Showed it to a critic with no music. Like, he hadn't done the score, and he showed it, and they went, that's shit. It's not scary. What you want? Why are you showing me this? Yeah. And then he went away, did the music. The same person rewatched it and said, I was wrong. This is terrifying.
I mean, audio, for me, from a horror perspective, is so vital.
Yeah, massively.
Because it connects you to what's happening emotively, and it just gives you that next level. It really draws you. It gets your hairs going. Yeah. The music.
Yeah, it gets you back up at times, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I tell you, that's... You could critic a film by its music, actually.
You could.
In a way, because if you think about horror, and if you put Halloween 1 on, and then you put Halloween 2 on, and it's a different director, and John Carpenter hasn't done the music, although he wrote it.
Yeah.
And the score's very different.
Yeah.
And it's more electronic and a bit more up to date.
Yeah, because it's sort of like creeping in the 80s, isn't it? It's that.
Yeah. So, and it's a different feel. It is, even though it's set on the same night.
Yeah.
And it just follows on exactly where it left off. It feels different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
See, I didn't know that. I think that's a class idea, that is.
Yeah. It is a good. It's a good thing to do. I don't think Nightmare on Elm Street had a good score.
No.
That, in fact, you look back, that looks really cheap.
You see, you don't remember A Nightmare on Elm Street for its music.
No, you don't.
You remember the song. Kruger. You remember the girl's song, don't you?
Yeah. The one, but two, Freddy's coming for you.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you the music.
Yeah, no. That's a bit kind of basic piano, kind of one, two, Freddy. It's really basic.
Mate, little kid singing is fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's creepy. In any film.
The song that I always go back to, it's not even a song, it's just a piece of music. Amityville 2, The Possession. Me and Tim reviewed it ages ago on the podcast. The music for that is terrifying.
Yeah, really creepy.
It's a little kid singing.
We watched it one late one night, didn't we? And it was like, fuck.
I don't want to go on.
Yeah, I mean, how? What? Yeah, next question. What more do you say?
So, right then, I watched this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
knowing bits, but not knowing anything other than this is a film that everybody doesn't just like. They fucking love this film.
Yeah.
So, I just sat down and I had a watch, and I come out the end of it, and I thought it was gash.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Yeah.
I saw a few of his tweets and I thought, he's going to be a hard one to convince.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand it. And I put a little status up on, I mean, like a horror group on Facebook.
Yeah.
I put, I've just watched the original, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was rotten. I thought the acting was one of the worst things I've seen on film. And I just fucking ripped it. And I got absolutely battered.
I bet you did.
I bet you got mired.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What's your favourite horror film?
Good one.
Just to kind of get a gauge of what is...
I said before we started this show, because I've seen a lot of horror films, and a lot of the ones I've watched, I've loved, like Alien, The Fly.
Yeah.
I think they're fantastic films.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Yeah.
There's a lot of suspense in those films as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that, like before, I don't know, I wouldn't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's a hard, I couldn't tell you my favourite horror film. The horror film I remember, the two probably the most I remember are Halloween and probably A Nightmare on Elm Street for me.
Yeah.
But probably, I mean, I watched A Nightmare on Elm Street when I was about 9 or 10 years old, and that terrified me.
Yeah.
And then I probably watched Halloween after, but that had a different, it was scarier in a weird, different type of way.
Yeah,
it's a tricky one.
A lot of films now are more jumpy.
Yeah.
And they're not tonally scary anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this film, there's no blood in this film.
No, there's no blood in Halloween. A little bit.
There's a little bit, but it's not like a gore fest.
Yeah.
I think they went out to kind of, it was the suspense, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And the whole, where is he? Where's he going to come into this? And it was that following her around.
And the mask as well. It's just like,
it's just a horrible idea. But I understand, going back to what you said about the acting, I said to Tim just before we started this.
That Annie should have shot herself in the face.
That's exactly what I said.
We were just talking about it.
Maybe it is her weird style And I don't know if that's the case. You never know. She might talk like that in real life.
It was really monotone.
Yeah, it was Jamie Lee Curtis's very first film as well, so you can't really judge her on it.
No. She was all right, though, to be fair. Yeah,
but
she
I did
was
think
good.
Donald Pleasance was a big actor at the time, and he isn't particularly great in the film.
He looks like he doesn't want to do it.
I think
at times.
I think sometimes, you know, it maybe was a bit of a script thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it was, there isn't a lot of script.
Yeah.
Just kind of go along.
And I bet it was
an
improvised
first take.
Done.
I think he was,
next shot.
Sold on the idea, wasn't he? Because I know John Carpenter wrote it with his wife, and she wrote all of the girls' dialogue.
Right.
Which, for me, that's the worst thing of the film, where they're all together and interacting. Even though you can say that, it's, at least it's sort of real and girls weren't portrayed that way back then and all that shit.
Do you think then, because the dialogue is a bit dodgy there, it spoils the horror of it?
It did the first time I watched it.
Yeah, right. That's interesting, isn't it?
I think as it's aged, I think you're right. I think the acting's come into question big time.
Yeah.
I was saying to Tim ages ago, I think a lot of films are judged as classics on like a nostalgia thing.
Definitely.
Yes.
Now, I'm not taking anything away from this because, like I said, I watched it the other night and I just loved it.
I still loved it,
But I do think you have a fondness for films like, going back to the 80s when me and Tim grew up, you know, Back to the Future, Terminator, RoboCop, and they do, I mean, we still love them now, but I do think there's a fondness about them.
Yeah, it definitely nostalgia tints it, doesn't it?
And maybe kids like now, of like we were growing up, they think Guardians of the Galaxy is like you know they're Back to the Future of today, really.
Yeah,
that's a good show.
So Halloween's a bit of a
it's very hard, isn't it? Because it's like
they wouldn't make a film on that budget.
No, they wouldn't. You wouldn't get anything. You might get a pilot for a TV show made on that, but you would probably not even that.
No, probably not.
No, you wouldn't even get that.
Isn't it $300,000 to make an entire film?
Well, how many times has the director written, shot? And scored a film himself.
Yeah.
When was the last time that happened?
No.
Especially Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, you don't get it at all now, do you? With studios getting involved.
No. Exactly.
But he was like a maverick though, weren't he? Old John Carpenter. He didn't give a fuck what anybody thought.
Well, yeah.
I don't think he does even now, to be honest.
He's got his big dick out and he's like, listen, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Deal with it or I ain't doing it. And they're like, all right, and do what you want.
Well, a lot of directors are good directors. I mean, depends on what you think about him. He's probably a bit of a Marmite director because he did have a golden period.
We said this, didn't
Everybody
we?
Everybody says
get
that.
Things
to me.
Like Halloween,
Everybody,
The Thing,
The Fog.
Yeah, The Fog, Christine. Escape from New York and stuff like that.
That's a great film. Escape from New York's a great film.
You see, it's interesting you like that and not Halloween. But I mean, it's very hard, Halloween, because. I was just going to say, it's like judging it for its time when it came out. It's like when you judge things, it's like saying, who's the best ever boxer or the best ever football player or the best ever tennis player? And you go back to these old eras when they used to play and you think, he's definitely the best player of all time. But
could George be best player in the Premier League?
Exactly.
Now?
But he probably couldn't. He probably could for a bit, but probably not. I think
some fucking
footballers. But some people would say,
he wouldn't have
a problem because they remember him in his prime. Yeah. But I think it's one of those. It's like it's very hard to take something out of the era it was made and compare it.
Yeah.
Especially in film because things change and things grow. And like we said before, like Halloween was responsible for so many sort of cliches, I suppose, in horror.
Yeah.
It's sort of the tropes that you get that it sort of created those from scratch.
Well, that is a lot of the reactions I got from people when I said it was shit.
Yeah.
They all just the thing they kept going back to was that it was a classic and it started this whole slasher movement.
Yeah.
And the score and all this and that, but nobody was telling me why it was actually any good.
I loved the suspense in it.
Yeah, I watched it. Oh, I was saying last night. The way it sort of you get this sort of setup, don't you, with the baby Michael Myers, and he goes in and takes his sister out after a little bit of sexy time.
That's a pretty powerful.
Can I just say, they went upstairs for about 15 seconds, and she was nude, and he fucked off. What the fuck happened in the 15 seconds?
Dude, he blew his load quicker than
he knew he were coming. But for me, when you that film starts off in first person.
Yeah, it does.
And that's... Before that, who would have thought we can't do that? It's an impossible shot. You cannot have someone in first person. It just doesn't exist.
No, not really.
There will have been films that touch on like Peeping Tom and stuff.
Yeah.
But to do an entire beginning sequence of a film in first person through the eyes of a small Michael Myers.
Like a 6 minute shot.
Yeah. And it goes right. He runs really quickly into the, and there's all that, and he's creeping, and he's like just behind the door frame, and he's waiting for him to come down the stairs, and he goes up, and it's all through his eyes. And as a viewer, when the first time you watch that, you're like, you don't really know who you are, what you're seeing. Mm. And then it comes out onto the doorsteps when his mum and dad gets home, and it's him, and he takes the mask off, and he's in that clown suit. That's pretty creepy.
Yeah, it's just a little bit.
And he's just holding this massive butcher knife. See, I mean, for the first time in the late 70s, that must have been pretty, whoa, what the hell's this?
Yeah, it sets it up well. Yeah. And then it builds from there.
Yeah.
Like I said, Loomis kind of sets up who he's gone from.
It cuts from that to Loomis, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Him in the car, yeah. And he's fucking sick to the back teeth of him as well.
Yeah.
He's just fucking fed up of him.
But then he's a bit like, well, they're not treating him
how
they should. He's a nutcase. Yeah. And he's a stone-cold killer.
And he jumps on the car.
There's nothing behind the eyes but blackness. Yes. Like a doll's eyes. Yes. and he's literally like, he needs to be locked away forever.
Now that's a film.
I love the scene in the car. I've said that earlier.
Yeah.
But then from there, like I said, there's little things as well that you notice.
Yeah.
Like Loomis is hell-bent on the fact that he's going back to Haddonfield.
Yeah.
And that is it.
That's a question I've got. How did he know that? He said he hasn't spoken a word for 15 years. How did he know where he was going?
Back to his old house.
Yeah.
That's probably...
I think you never really know about his psychosis, do you? What is his... Because like I said, he's never spoken about it. But Loomis must have... No, I mean, you never get to see it in the film, probably because of the budget. He must have had notes over those years and thoughts about what had happened, why he killed his sister. And he must have thought there's a something attached to his family. Interrupting you.
I need to know, really, if there's a lot of stuff that's been deleted from the film, because I was we were having a conversation earlier.
I don't think there is. Due to budget, he pretty much kept everything.
Yeah. I wonder if he wanted to do it.
He couldn't cut.
I do think maybe as well that he kind of wanted to keep it like that minimalistic.
Yeah.
There's not much story behind it because of the situation. It's just going to be the night he came home. And that was the whole tagline.
I think that is one of the issues of me seeing it now in 2017, that I've got all these questions because I'm used to films giving me all the answers.
Absolutely. So there's a hell of a lot of films out there that leave you hanging.
Yeah, you see, sometimes it's more scary not to know why, and it leaves it to the audience to make your mind up. Why would you think he did that? Some directors are buggers for that. They won't actually give you a direct answer to anything.
Look at the ending of the thing.
Yeah. Right, well, I was just going to say that, right? What about the ending of the film?
Right.
So... It all builds and builds and builds. Yeah. And he goes into where Laurie Strode is.
Yeah.
There's the whole, is he dead? No, he's not. No. That was like, how many times was that done back then? You know, was that a new thing?
Yeah.
And then he actually does it a few times. And then Loomis shoots him 6 times. Off the balcony he goes, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for a film then to kind of just go, he's gone.
So, yeah.
Suddenly, there's no... Where's he gone? It's just theme music, the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, if you take it as that's it, Halloween, that's what John Carpenter envisioned. He didn't want to say any more than that. Leaves it, what happened to him? Is he even real? Did it ever happen? Mm. Is he supernatural? Is he immortal? Is he just so powerful you can't... Well, and that gets explored later on in the films, but...
But it gets exploited.
Yeah.
if you just left it as these films.
As that, an hour and a half film. It is fantastic.
It is weird though, isn't it? How we are sitting here, me and Tim, giddy about this film. Thrilled to bits that we got to watch it again. Just find an excuse to watch this film again. Yeah. And like you said, you went on Facebook and poked an angry bear.
Yeah. I got fucking gang raped because of this.
You woke a beast.
I think for people of art and probably older than us, it is the nostalgic view of it. Looking back on it.
Yeah.
I will be as straight and as honest with anybody. And I even think Donald Pleasance is shaky in this film. Yeah. But like I said, I don't know how much script there was.
Yeah.
Maybe they were like, you are so good at this, right? Just run with it.
Granted, there is some dodgy acting. We'll give you that.
Oh, there is.
Some dodgy acting.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, Michael Myers acting in the best.
It looks brilliant, though.
Yeah.
The way it's shot
and
the quality of the... I mean, Christ knows how good my version is.
Yeah.
But shit, it's been remastered and everything. It looked great. It sounded brilliant.
Yeah. I was saying to you earlier on just about the wind and the bits in
it
Haddonfield.
Gives you wind, doesn't it? Yeah. Gives you terrible wind, this film.
It's terrible. The wind was like, but it's kind of, I've done a lot of like research into horrors for obviously for the game I'm making.
Yeah.
And a lot of like people get creeped out by these sort of natural sounds. Like the wind, like the rain, and it causes a bit of unease. And I think that's kind of, I mean, he might not have known the psychology, or maybe it maybe just creeped him out. But every time there's like a shot of like Laurie walking down the road with her friends, or there's always like the trees are blowing right quite, you know, violently. And there's it's almost like the town's getting ready for something. It's like this sort of, it just fits into the whole build up. And I never really noticed it before until I watched it last night. And I thought, that's somewhat interesting. So I was looking at it a bit more of a critical eye last night, and like, you know, like we were saying, but
just, that's another just issue with watching it, because obviously I do things like this. I watch every film and I'm looking for things to discuss. So I'm like, oh, fucking hell, that was shit, that was shit. Yeah. Look, it's very rarely I can just watch a film and just let it wash over me, which I went back and watched it again. I've watched this film three times now.
Yeah, it's impressive. All right.
And I watched it again today, and I will say, I really, really enjoyed it.
This time round?
Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
I dropped the acting. I fucked that off out of my head. I went, now, you know the acting's bad. Ignore the acting. Just watch out for the things that everybody told you that's really good.
Yeah.
Like, appreciate the tone. Appreciate the directing.
Yeah.
Appreciate that it was made for fucking peanuts.
Yeah.
And all the little intricacies and just how they did it.
Yeah.
Enjoy, and, you know, and I watched it thinking about all that, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's really interesting, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite dedicated, because for me, if I hated it the first time round, I'd be very reluctant to go back and watch it a second, never mind a third time.
Yeah. Well, I didn't enjoy Alien the first time I watched that. I thought it was boring. I was like, see, fucking boring. This is dull.
I watched
that again, and I fucking loved it.
Well, I saw Alien when I was quite young,
and
my sisters used to tell me it was really boring, and you believe what your older sisters are telling you. And then...
Masterful
and
film.
Then, the first time I saw it, I thought it was dull. And then when you get a bit older and you just appreciate the horror and the suspense, it was just phenomenal. What a film.
Again, the suspense in that is brilliant.
It's up there in my top 10 is Alien, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'll put it in my top 10 as well now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The thing I like about Carpenter is I grew up watching The Fog. That was kind of the first John Carpenter film that I knew.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that either.
Must have been on TV when I was a kid, and my sister had taped it on the old VHS.
It's the craft in that. It's the way he tells the story.
But half of the cast of The Fog are in Halloween. It's like
I got two for one.
Halloween worked so well, and the cast was so cheap.
Yeah.
That let's get exactly the same people on board.
Fancy doing another film, same money.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in it.
Yeah.
The guy who plays the sheriff, he's in it.
He's in it,
Annie, the terrible actress, she's in it.
Yeah,
he's even got Janet Leigh, who was in Psycho. She's in The Fog as well.
Is The Fog just... after this then? The Fog will be after Halloween.
There's also a scene where a woman comes out of a shop in number two.
And this is Halloween.
And there's the kid from The Fog who goes, Mrs. Colbritz! And he's even in it. So I was dead happy with that.
Yeah.
It's like it's like a big Fog cast reunion. Before it happened, the casting of The Fog is Halloween. It's a brilliant film.
You see, I always remember briefly on The Fog. I always remember when the pirates or the sailors, wherever they are, come out of the fog, and they're just silhouettes.
Blake,
and they've got like hooks for hands.
I've got to ask you now: have you seen The Fog?
No,
that's next week's podcast,
dude.
This same happens time, a lot. People go, we'll start talking about something, and they'll go off. They go, have you seen this? And I go, nah. Have you seen this? And I go, nah.
Oh, 1980, The Fog was.
Yeah.
That's the point of this show. I haven't seen anything, so we're going to slowly working through.
You've got so much to, but it's good you're going back to watch it. For me, I'd go back. I mean, when I was a kid as well, I used to like the Hammer Horrors, the British horror films.
You did, you did.
Yeah, and they were of a different cut altogether, because they weren't like that. And that's another thing. If you watch like those, they're talking mid-50s on to like early 70s.
I did enjoy the original Fly. I have recently watched that, and I enjoyed that.
What, the 66 one?
Yeah, the original. The Vincent Price one, yeah.
Oh, did you?
Really?
That one, wow.
Yeah, that.
I must admit, I preferred Cronenberg's version.
Yeah.
Oh, I preferred the Cronenberg one.
But
I did enjoy the Vincent Price one.
When we were kids, this is a funny story. We, back in the days of VHSs, we noticed reading in the paper that The Fly was going to be on really late one night. So we set the tape, the video to record it, and we were giddy. We were like, yes, it's on.
And we stayed up.
We stayed up, and it was the 1966 version. Oh, or whenever it was. I don't know if it was 66 or it was early. Oh,
we were devastated.
I think it was 66. When
it was devastating.
It was devastating. We were like, what the hell is this?
To two young lads with a tray of little goodies,
yeah,
cheese and pickle, and a little.
Oh yeah, 1958. We were set.
It was like an indoor camp out, all ready to watch.
I imagine because you're northern, even though you're about 10 or whatever, you've still got a pint of bitter and some scratching.
Yeah, absolutely. It just comes out of the tap. Sat there with the whippet on the edge of the bed.
Yeah.
Hey up, lad.
Hey up, lad.
But yeah, going back to Halloween, diverting there.
Right, yeah.
So in the end, you loved it?
Yeah,
or
I just liked it? I did. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad about that. I feel a bit...
I appreciated the tone. And yeah, like everybody said, he's everywhere and you never know when he's going to come out because he's always hiding in the shadows.
Yeah. They changed a bit, didn't they, later on? I suppose they didn't. It wasn't as stalkery, though. What, he was more...
I tell you what, as well, right? There's a scene in the film where... He breaks into the house, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and Laurie Strode,
yeah.
She runs upstairs, right? Yeah. And there's a scene, I think, I think she thinks she's done him.
Yeah, with the neck. She stabbed him in the neck with the fucking needle. Or something.
I can't remember in which order it goes in, but there's a scene and she's up against the door frame.
And his face pops out.
And there's the black of the room behind her.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And you just see his face
come out of the shadow.
And all of a sudden, he kind of comes out of the room really slowly.
And yeah, shit with a knife.
You just pick him out for the first time, you're like, holy shit, he's there. Yeah. And that is class. That is brilliant.
That must have been the first film to do that to that degree.
Yeah, because most directors would just go for that. Kind of shock factor.
They do now that everything's just loud noises.
Yeah, whereas he didn't. He comes slowly out and you can't even, you think you're seeing him and he's not even there because you want him to be there. And then, he obviously comes through. It's
brilliant. See, things like that creep me out far more than like gore.
I'm into this kind of film more than I am as just blood, guts and all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
See, I think The Conjuring did that quite well. Sort of put things in the shadows.
Conjuring's a great film. I've recently watched the first. Is it there's two of them, isn't there?
Yeah,
yeah. The second.
I've recently watched.
You see, they were.
I prefer the first.
Old school. They were back to the old school, and that was brilliant.
Yeah,
that's why they work so well.
They're brilliant. Yeah.
I appreciate the tone. I appreciated the pacing of it's good as well. Because I've wrote down an hour and 13 minutes in, and he'd obviously done all the friends in, but he never really interacted properly with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
And then by the time she goes over to the house at the end, he's already established. You're never going to see him coming. And like that build of tension there, I think that's class when she's just going into the house and she's looking for her friends. You're like, oh, fuck. He could be there. You don't know where he is, but you know he's in the house. That was class.
That's what's so good about it.
Yeah. Well, that was really good.
It's because it's kind of just that on the edge of your seat. Mm. Like, where the hell is this guy? What does he want? Why is he doing it?
And there's only Loomis that really believes he's around.
Yeah.
You know, no one knows who he is. There's the whole...
It's
at the start
town,
of the film,
it
kind of... You know, the house is there.
Yeah.
And the kids are saying, no one ever goes. You don't ever go up there.
Yeah.
And she's like, that'd be so stupid.
The Myers house.
And she leaves the key under the door.
Yeah.
And he is actually in the house, isn't he?
Yeah, and it shoots from inside the door, doesn't it? And they walk off. She walks back.
It's like on his shoulder is the camera, isn't it? You can just see the outline of his face.
Just finished eating a dog or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, what's that? Oh, he must have got hungry. I think Donald Pleasance is a bit shit in that film, if I'm honest.
Did they feed him dogs in the mental home or something? Did he know that he'd eat a dog?
I think he said to him, look, if we can shoot it all in a day, I'm down for it. It's like he's just rushed through it all.
One take. I ain't doing any more.
I ain't doing any more. I'll give you a day. Yeah. But, I mean, what else can you say about it? It's very...
It's iconic, isn't it? People have strived to better it. And yeah, you can get better actors and spend loads of money. But it's all about that pacing.
Do you think...
And the timing.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you think it was the first one to sort of really focus in on the bad guy, like the actual slasher, to make him this larger-than-life almost, it is almost ghostly, and it's supernatural. He's there. He's everywhere. Yeah. It is that.
That's one of the questions I've got. Like, what's the supernatural thing about? Because doors just open, yeah. Things pop out. Like, what's that about? Does that get explained?
I think it's just to set a tone, yeah. And to put you as a viewer at a real unease.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Doors slamming. Yeah. You know, just, there is a few weird bits in it. Like you said, doors just weirdly open by themselves.
Yeah.
But there are a few scenes, if you watch it over and over again, you kind of notice the little things, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Or you look for little things. And like, there's a scene where they show him and then they look out again and he's gone.
Yeah.
But if you look, you'll kind of see him disappearing.
Yeah.
He's kind of, you see the back end of him, if you like, running through the bushes. And it's creepy.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me little bits of like how Japanese tackle horror.
I haven't seen a lot of Jap horror. I've got to admit,
it's that. It is Jap that horror. More Jap horror. It is more of that supernatural, psychological side of it. Although Halloween, it has elements of that in it.
Yeah,
and that's very early to say. I mean, I doubt. I mean, I don't think there was many Japanese horror films available in the '70s. I can't remember off the top of my head.
No idea.
There is, like you say, there's supernatural elements about it. I, like Rob says, I think that's probably just to keep you guessing in it, to keep you on the edge of the seat.
It makes you more uneasy, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, because it makes you ask the question, doesn't it, in your head. Your subconsciously say, well,
what the fuck is there?
What the hell's that?
Yeah.
Why is he over there? That just happened.
No, I don't think it's anything funky about it.
I do appreciate that it's ambiguous. Like, I do now. Like, from when I first watched it, I was like, what the fuck? Why haven't they answered this? Why don't I know his fucking intentions? Why is he killing those people? But then... He's just because he's fucking mental, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's psychotic. He's a psycho. That's
but he's calculated as well, which I obviously didn't pick up on the first time, because that little boy runs into him and he just grabs him and lets him run.
Yeah.
And then he stalks him and he's watching him. He waits for the right moment, like in the car. How he opened the car, I've got no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It shows you him actually stalking them in the beginning. Like there's that sort of, he's working out who's who, what they're doing. Putting a bit of fear into them, like making them doubt, ask questions, like when she's in a bedroom, like we were saying earlier on, and she looks out the window.
Just have a look at.
And he's like, just there getting smacked in the face with a washing machine.
Sniffing her bed sheets. There's a scene just before that as well, where she's walking up the street, and he's just stood in front of her on the street.
Yeah.
And her mate's looking down, Annie, he's just figuring out what her next line is.
Yeah,
and
how to act for dummies book.
And she goes, Annie. And she goes, who's Annie? And she goes, it's you, dickhead. and they both look up and he's gone.
Yeah.
And he's just stepped into the thing. And it works really well. It's so basic and so simple.
Yeah, it is very, very, very basic.
But it's, again, it was probably the first film to do it, really, that like that. Mm. And you've got to give massive credit to it. You think of the swath of slasher films that came out after Halloween.
Well, Friday the 13th was the next big one, and that just went for it.
Yeah.
Kids galore, getting slaughtered left, right, and
there's a lot more gore in that.
I mean, there's the woman in the shower with the axe in the head.
That's brilliant, is that?
And Kevin Bacon gets it through the throat.
Everybody cut.
That's another one. I haven't seen that either.
Have you not seen that? No. Kevin Bacon, before he did the EE adverts.
A long time ago.
Yeah. Before he put on the latex of
was
Britney.
That 80? Was that
80? 80, I think that was.
Or 80. 79.
But
80.
That is hell for leather. If you want Halloween with loads of blood, that's your film.
It's pretty much, it is Tekken. It's Tekken what Halloween did. And 100%. Just sort of taking everything out of it. And so let's just, like Rob said, dribble some more blood on it. A lot more blood.
There's a twist as well at the end. I won't spoil it for you.
God, yeah.
I'll let you have that.
I've watched Scream, so I do know that it's...
you see, they've fucking spoiled it for everybody. Yeah. Wes Craven's got a lot to answer.
You see, that's one of those you can watch on a night, like with Halloween. It's one of those you put on really late at night.
Absolutely.
And just have some snacks and just...
But again, you see, at that time, you didn't have these iconic horror characters.
Yeah.
So you've got...
You didn't have Krueger, you didn't have...
Voorhees. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean...
Maniac Cop.
See, everybody says Leatherface. Not really.
Maniac Cop.
And Pinhead.
Pinhead. Oh, no, that's
I need to watch. I do Hellraiser like Hellraiser. Again. Hellraiser's tremendous.
Yeah. You see, I need to watch. I don't think I've ever seen that all the way through.
We should watch that.
25 years ago, I reckon.
You see,
I've seen that.
When I think of the word horror, that's what Hellraiser is.
Yeah, like a...
Because it's got that real...
It's grotesque.
Yeah, it's that sort of... Yeah, it is grotesque.
It's supernatural as well, isn't it?
Oh, demonic. Demonic, yeah, that's a good word for it. I mean, that's a classic film. Clive Barker, you see.
I'll have to see that again.
We've got a couple to watch. We've got Peeping Tom.
It's hard when you get old and you've got kids and missuses who want to know where you are every minute of every day.
What are you doing?
Yeah. What are you watching? And you go out with your mate and that's it then. There's fucking shit, it's the fan.
Like, you've got to paint for a week. What needs painting? Do it.
You've got a week off. Don't think you're going to your friends. You've got a fucking room to paint, bad boy.
Well, I've only got one friend, so I'm all right.
Oh. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. One minute.
Yeah. Come on then, lay us another question down. Yeah. What else you got?
Well, it's more of an observation I had. Dick is life in this film. Those little the motivation for those teenage girls, other than obviously Laurie, is Dick.
Yeah.
All I want is to get fucking smashed.
Hit with the 7 is free love.
That is very true. So
you see, a woman's written the dialogue for that.
So America's just getting over the hangover of Vietnam, and all girls want to do is reproduce.
Yeah. Maybe John was working a lot back then, and Deborah wasn't getting enough, so she wrote in the dialogue.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. To be fair, you know, as well, the guys in it, right, are munters. You would never sleep with those
guys.
That
one bloke's got some fucking smashing glasses on.
It's like, were the Proclaimers busy?
Small town, though, isn't it? So there's probably, and even like now, you can just get on Facebook and or ring someone or get a Snapchat or whatever. You couldn't do that.
I'm actually surprised one of them didn't try and pull Michael.
Yeah.
You know, he's a looker with that Shatner mask.
Look at them shoulders.
The Shatner mask. There you go. That answers my favourite horror film. Not William Shatner. The 90s, again, this is another thing that people will watch now and go, gosh. But the TV movie of It.
Oh, okay.
The director of that was the production designer of this. He's John Carpenter's mate. And he's the one who picked the Shatner mask. And you know when he's coming through the cupboard and he's smashing through? That's him under the mask. The director of It.
Yeah, I think I knew that he was coming through. I think I knew that. I didn't know he was its director.
And his wife is Annie, and that's why she's in the film.
Ah, really? There you go, then.
Yeah, but that I'd say that it's is probably my favourite horror film, even though it's shit.
It
is. The 90s version is the first 90 minutes are fucking tremendous. Yeah. And then it just falls on its arse.
I need to see that again.
Yeah, that's another thing we need to watch. Yeah, but it's like 3 hours.
I need a week.
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
It will have been when we originally watched it in the 90s, when it first came out. Yeah, that's the last time I saw it.
It shit me up when I was a kid. I first watched it when I was about 10.
Yeah, I get that.
And we couldn't get all the way through, and somebody knocked the door, so we answered the door with a fucking knife because we thought it was a clown. It was just dropping off some milk. Like, oh, sorry. But yeah, Black Country Massive.
Yeah.
Fucking don't knock my door. But I've watched it back, and I watch it at least twice a year now because I fuck it. That's a film I can have on. But it's not a scary film anymore. I think it's just that I've got that nostalgic.
Exactly. You've got that appreciation for it.
That's what we have, I think. Now, have you ever watched something called Ghost Watch?
Oh, man.
No.
We won't say, just if you get a chance, I'd have a watch of that.
That, you see, that is actually Blair Witch. The people who made Blair Witch, regardless of what you think of Blair Witch and how that kind of film affects you or doesn't, because it's Marmite, is that film.
I loved it personally.
They took this thing called Ghost Watch, which was aired in 92.
Yeah. On BBC.
It was aired on BBC One on Halloween night.
Yeah.
And it was presented as a live phone-in.
Oh, it was so good.
But it wasn't live. It was like, you know, War of the Worlds was presented live and the world went mad.
Yeah.
Right? Well, this was like the BBC just thinking it might be funny to scare a lot of people on Halloween night. And it backfired on them spectacularly because people thought
it was
people
real.
Like Sarah Green and Michael Parkinson were dead.
It is probably the I'm going to say it, the best thing I've ever seen on BBC.
It is something else. It is fucking brilliant.
I mean, we watched it live together in the front room of my house, and it was, we were looking at each other going, what is happening?
I was sat in a pool of my own urine for the whole hour.
I was shaking.
Uncontrollably.
This is why we failed school, because we're still getting over Ghost Watch.
Have you watched it recently?
Yeah,
yeah, we are. Yeah,
fucking brilliant.
I mean, it's obviously it's gonna have dated because it was a TV.
Oh, but yeah,
it hasn't enough to sort of think it's. You'll probably think it's crap, but
it's cheap.
Yeah,
but for what it was at the time, and again, we know it as nostalgic. Yeah. But it was just off the scale. Oh,
it was just phenomenal because you just went in. See, back then you didn't have the internet to look up things what were coming on telly. You just had to go with what were in the radio at times.
That
on
was
the paper.
Real to us.
Yeah.
That was just real. I think you'll struggle to find that,
yeah.
To be fair. I think that's...
It's probably a very niche.
I will have a look, though.
Yeah, it'll be in the archive somewhere.
Yeah.
Might be on YouTube.
I did have it on DVD, but I don't know if I've still got it.
I'll have to find that bad boy.
If you got it on DVD?
I don't know. I might have it.
Rip it if you have.
Yeah.
There won't be a Blu-ray.
So anything else you need to know about Halloween?
Favourite scene?
Oh, Jesus, that's really hard.
Might have to be an early scene. Unless it is that scene that I've said where she stood on the door.
I was just thinking that.
And his face just slowly appears. Although the scene where Loomis goes up to the gates of the asylum.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
And you can just see the people in the white. And it's weird, man. That is fucked
up.
Yeah,
that bit is great. I mean, I do like the bit where she's looking out the window and he's just in the washing. just can't get around with that. But I think it is, for me, the bit where he just comes out.
Do you know what's weird, right? Going off favourite part of it, the weird thing was where he kills the Proclaimer downstairs, right?
Yeah.
And that is a beautiful... I sound like a sicko. That's a beautifully shot death.
Death, it is.
So he pins him, right, with the knife, yeah?
Yeah.
And he steps back and he just stands and his head turns. And it's like, dog. You fucking creep. But then he puts, for some reason, he puts a sheet over his head.
Yeah.
Well, that's hilarious. I thought that really made me laugh.
Doesn't he? Yeah, he's like stood there like a ghost. What's all that about?
Do you think it's Halloween?
Did you ever like put your nan's glasses on when you were little?
I used to put her pants on and trousers and everything. Still do.
That's northern the way,
yeah. Yeah.
But, and her teeth in.
Yeah, it was like, like Psycho. Blood, mother, blood.
But like when you put old people's glasses on, everything gets fucked up and you can't see it.
It's like being on LSD, isn't it?
Yeah, like how did he fucking get up the stairs?
He couldn't even see through the sheet. I wouldn't worry about that. But yeah, he doesn't strike me as a guy who's got a sense of humour. No. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put this sheet on.
Do you think he was smiling underneath his mask?
Oh, pissing himself. I think he was just devastated he couldn't see that girl's tits through the sheet, if I'm honest.
God, yeah, there is good 70s tits in this film.
Yeah.
70s tits.
Good 70s tits, because they're a bit shit.
They're a bit shit. The girl in the first sequence...
His sister.
They ain't shit, man. They are.
Now, a lot of this, she's just nude and she's gone, he's just fucking spunked me dead quick. I'll brush my hair.
Yeah, absolutely.
I won't put any pants on or anything. I always brush my hair naked now, so I can understand that.
See, if that was in real life, she'd be getting a wet wipe to her chin.
Oh, yeah. That's what she'd
do. She won't be brushing her hair.
Why did you do it on my face?
Mom's going to kill me. It's never going to come out of those curtains.
That's real as fuck, that is. That's real.
You see, I think Michael actually is killing these girls because they're all sluts.
Yeah.
I genuinely think there is some sequence or script or something like that. Because apparently, and I don't know if this is like fan fiction, but somebody said that in an original screenplay or something, his mum was a stripper in the Red Room Lounge or whatever it's called. And there's a few references to that.
There is.
And then his sister puts out instantaneously in the first bit. And then obviously he arrives back in Haddonfield and they're still at it 20-odd years later.
Dick is life.
These girls bent over bonnets. They're at it in the school hall.
It's just like a porn. It is actually like a porn.
It is. It's like Emmanuel meets Debbie Does Dallas.
Meets Halloween.
Psycho.
Psycho. One thing you want to watch is Rob Zombie's version of Halloween.
I've seen bits of it.
It's quite interesting because he goes into more of his childhood before he gets...
Mm. Yeah, he's more of a character, isn't he?
Yeah,
Michael
he builds... He goes into more... Yeah, he's like his...
Oh, he's the right character.
And that's quite... We really enjoyed that, didn't we, when we watched it? But
the first one, you know, really, really enjoyed the first one. The second one was gash. Do you... All right, I'll tell you what. As an outsider looking in, as you are, right, from the first time you saw it...
Yes.
If you rated it at that point, what would you have given it out of 10?
2.
Right, okay. Ooh. And then now, because you said you saw it again, what would you give it now?
7.5.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a massive difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? I think I give it a 10. this, but I would go back on that.
Yeah.
And again, it's the nostalgia thing.
It's a nostalgia 10, but it's probably an 8 for me.
Do you know what? The music for me
is... Oh, the music's brilliant.
It's absolutely top dollar.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and it sets the tone of the film, and it's creepy as...
really does.
And it's so creepy.
It really does. Because as soon as you hear that music, looking back, you instantly associate that mask. And
oh, get giddy as I listen to that.
The ending's dead good as well, where it just shows all the different places and he's breathing.
Yeah.
That's dead good, that is. I think that's class.
Brilliant. That's probably one of the best scenes in the film.
Love it. Love the ending. Thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. I promise that was probably my favourite scene in the film.
Yeah.
What, the bit when you don't know where he is, but you can just hear him breathing?
Just hear his breathing.
Clever,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's pretty much everywhere he wants to be.
Yeah.
But
and you don't know why he's there.
That's the point,
isn't it?
That's the point. Yeah. You don't know where he is.
And as a kid watching that, could you imagine watching that as a kid? And it leaves you thinking, he's still out there, kids.
Yeah. So you leave the movie theater.
Yeah.
And he could be outside waiting for you.
And it's like...
Could be in your popcorn. Could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have any slut to babysit yet, because...
Yeah. But that's why... I think that's why it's so good, because it takes that everyday kind of things. Like we grew up in a small village, and it was sort of... Haddonfield is kind of like that village.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And you had babysitters, they came, you know, all those things that you... It took those normal, everyday things.
Yeah.
Was dick life.
Yeah, yeah, it was, yes, yeah.
Just like that.
You know, you get a babysitter and she's gobbling some fella off you never met.
When you try with your pizza.
Just up against you.
Get it out. Next to you on settee.
Trying to eat my pineapple.
So, yeah, it was thug life. Growing up on the west side was tough.
Right then, boys, one thing we do, and I know it's already been remade, but we're going to remake this again.
Oh, come on.
Right?
Yep.
You've got full control.
Yes.
It is definitely being remade. You cannot stop it being remade. But you have got full control of the film.
Wicked. Right. Sounds good.
What do you do? Who do you cast?
Oh. Holy crap. Doesn't matter who you cast as Myers, does it?
Doesn't matter. You could cast fucking Snoop Dogg as Michael Myers if you wanted
to. I wouldn't do that.
Now, would you do a total reimagining? You just can't remake it. Would you do a total reimagining of it? Or would you keep it the same, like Rob Zombie did?
Shot for shot, pound for pound.
Just reshoot it. Exactly.
Just reshoot it.
Just get better actors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who would you cast?
Maybe tweak the script a little bit.
Yeah. Who would you cast as Laurie?
Oh, man, it's a good one. Because she's meant to be young, remember?
You'd have to get an unknown, I think. You'd have to get an unknown actor, so you're not typecasting anyone. Like Luke was, like she was. Those characters need to be fresh.
Yeah, you might be right.
And then, but get, like, so who would you get? Like, Donald Pleasance? I'd get someone like Anthony Hopkins or something. Or someone like, oh no, he's lost a bit of cred now, he's on Transformers.
That's the sort of person you want, though.
Yeah, that sort of you know, because Donald Pleasance, like you were saying, the time he was a caliber actor.
Yeah,
but he just looked rushed. So someone
you'd go with,
like an Alec Guinness kind of character,
that high caliber.
Alec Guinness, good choice.
You could even throw a curveball and go Idris Elba.
That's a shout.
Idris Elba could play them all.
Why don't we just cast Idris as every single character, just dress him up different?
Yeah, like Nuts Professor.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the one. It's still there. It can be all of them.
In a blonde wig.
Hallow Idris.
Bizarre.
Totally.
Totally.
I think if...
I like that idea. We should get in touch with him.
Idris as Loomis. That'd be good. He'd cost a fortune.
I shot him fat. Yeah, you could hear him saying that, couldn't you? Six times.
Yeah.
We'd change that. It wouldn't be six times. He'd have an automatic. Would you set...
You'd have an AK. You'd fucking blow him away.
Would you set it now?
No.
Or would you say it back then?
Back then.
Because you wouldn't have the phones and everything.
Yeah, back then.
Yeah, I'll get rid of that because the whole point, they talk a lot on their phones, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's a good scene where she's on the phone to her and she's chewing. What's that? Why does she just phone a mate and chew down the phone? How fucking rude's that?
Yeah.
Or when she's getting strangled and she thinks she's getting knobbed from behind. And she goes,
the first time she phones her, she's just chewing. Why'd you do that?
She's really rude, isn't she?
She's in a bedroom. She's like, oh, you scared me? Well, yeah. Your fucking phone. If I found mom and just chewed down the phone, she'd shit her pants.
Brilliant.
What about Daniel Craig
as Loomis?
As Loomis.
That's not a bad show.
That might work.
That could work.
He's done a few American voiced films, hasn't he? I think he's too good looking to be a Loomis.
Yeah. You'd have to scare him up a bit, wouldn't
Loomis
you?
Loomis had the fish eyes, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He was like looking at two separate people.
He did. He had one big eye.
and fucking no attention span. He didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't want to go and chase him all the way to fucking...
And he loves telling people as well about Michael. He's dead inside. I watched him for 8 years. Yeah, Loomis, you fucking told me loads of times.
He loves scaring them kids though, don't he? That bit, he fucking had a right... He got right fucking giddy about that.
Get out of here, you fuckers.
He had a right little smirk on his face.
He did, didn't he? Mate,
shut up. I love that. Yeah. You'd have to just keep it. What about the music? Would you redo the music?
Oh, no, you keep the music.
Just keep the original score. Yeah,
I think, to be fair, like we've spoke about earlier, I think it sets the whole tone of the film from the very word go.
So iconic.
People have, like, got... I set it as my ringtone every Halloween.
Yeah.
Love it. I think it's brilliant.
You'd shit your pants though if someone found you in the middle of the night.
Love it, mate. No one calls me. Never hear it. Just ring myself. Just to...
Is it working?
The kids love it. Kids love it. It's freaky, deaky music.
It is.
Brilliant.
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
Right, boys. Why don't you tell people about your lovely podcast?
Do you want to do it, Tim, or shall I?
You can do it.
Shall
I do it?
You've
got a much better radio voice.
So we are three cuckoos because there's usually three of us. Mark's usually here as well. Or he's on a bit of a sabbatical now. He's finding himself.
He's going on like a...
He's like Christian Bale did, you know, when he went into the hills at the start of Batman. It's like that.
What do you call it?
He's going to come back as a full ninja.
It's like an Aboriginal walk, isn't it? A dream walk where you go...
Like a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
So you're going. So we are three lads from Yorkshire, Englandshire. And we literally talk about the shit that's gone on in our lives, the boring, mundane, day-to-day crap. But then we usually review a film.
TV.
Because film and TV, when you're getting old, you're only out. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's the only thing you've got in your life.
Exactly. Relax the old brain. Tim's building a game that he's been doing for about 4 years now. So we keep knocking on about that as well.
Nearly out.
So we bang on about that a lot. We're fathers now as well.
Yeah.
Literally all of Daddy. Us. And we love us music.
Just a general cast, isn't it, really? General.
Bit of news as well.
Yeah.
We have a bit of that.
We'd probably get some guests on if anyone wanted to come on.
Absolutely. And then, you know, we just throw it out there, really.
It is a wonderful, wonderful podcast. It's one of the first ones. When I started finding podcasts, it's one of the first ones I found. And I don't usually stay with, like, you call them indie podcasts. I listen to a couple and then I just peter off and I go back to, you know, the main podcast. But like yours, I've stayed with yours for a good while now. It's probably about a year and a half, nearly 2 years now.
That's impressive. See, you're a good lad. You know where it's at. But if you want to get us, we're at Three Cuckoos on Twitter. You can get us on the old TuneIn radio.
Yeah, you can ask Alexa as well.
Yeah, you can. Get us on Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud is our main hub.
SoundCloud. Most of everything we've done is on there.
Podchaser's fantastic now as well.
Stitcher.
On everything.
Yeah. Highly recommend it.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Same to you as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for coming on, lad.
Anytime. Very welcome. If you want to discuss The Fog.
Yes.
We could do The Fog. Yeah, we could do The Fog. Oh, shit, this was Halloween season. I didn't announce that at the start of the show.
you can cut that in later.
Do The Fog. Yeah. 1980 Fog.
Yeah, and if you do have a free couple of hours, try and watch the Rob Zombie version of Halloween just as a contrast. Yeah. See what you think.
Oh, good shout.
Right then, dude.
Cheers, boys.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Peace out.
Thank you ever so much. And
bye.
Respect.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.